This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Primary elections in at least two congressional districts are in limbo after a federal court ruled the maps drawn by the state GOP lawmakers are unconstitutional. A three-judge panel declared the state's 1st and 12th districts were gerrymandered based on race and gave legislators 2 weeks to redraw the lines. WUNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff Tabiri has been following the story and joins me now. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hello, Frank.
So tell us more about these court rulings.
They come very close to a primary for North Carolina 5 weeks from tomorrow. Early voting is set to begin on March 3rd. So this is something that a lot of people are concerned about. It comes at a time that it could very well bring chaos to an election process that is already underway. As you mentioned, the 1st and the 12th, the boundaries have been invalidated, and we'll see what happens from here. Lawmakers could do a number of different things, but the time frame, the window here, is pretty short in which to operate.
Tell us more about the 1st and the 12th. Who serves in those districts now, and what is it that those justices found in terms of racial gerrymandering?
Sure. So the first is the representative is G.K. Butterfield. He is an African-American Democrat. He's a six-term incumbent, and he is one of two representatives in districts that are minority-majority districts, meaning that less than 50% of the electorate is white in both of these districts. The other district in question here is the 12th. Alma Adams is the representative there. She is an African-American. And that seat that was reintroduced to Congress following the 1990 census has always been held by an African-American representative. There were folks that filed a lawsuit basically claiming that these two districts, while they do offer minority representation, were drawn in such a way that they, you know, pack in Democratic voters, they pack in African-American voters. And if you look at a map of the congressional, of the 12th congressional district, it's a funny looking district. It stretches from Charlotte all the way up to parts of Forsyth and Guilford County. It looks almost like a branch that you'd see on like an old live oak tree. And the first district is, it's broad and it stretches from Durham all the way to the Albemarle Sound. And these are not districts, opponents argue, that look like any kind of community, any kind of compact community. Citizens filed, they said that it was discriminatory in the way in which these boundaries were drawn. And in effect, what happens is that you pack in so many Democratic African-American voters that you keep them from voting in other primaries. And North Carolina, presently 13 congressional seats, 10 are held by Republicans, 3 by Democrats.
All right. So who made this decision? Tell us about the panel that decided this particular these districts were unconstitutional.
It's a three-judge panel. One of the judges is from the U.S. Court of Appeals Fourth Circuit, which sits in Richmond. The other two are federal judges, one of whom serves within the 12th congressional district, the other of whom serves within the 1st congressional district. So it's a panel of federal judges is the best way to look at it. And it was a 2-1 decision on one of the districts. There was a dissent from one of the federal judges. Those were the three judges who looked at this thing.
All right. And tell us about the legislature, legislative leaders. What's been their response to the ruling?
Initially, in the hour or so after this ruling came down on Friday, a joint statement came out from Senator Bob Rucho, State Senator Bob Rucho, who's from Mecklenburg County, and House Representative David Lewis, who's from Harnett. And what they said was that they were surprised and disappointed by what they called an 11th-hour decision. They say that it potentially will throw an election that's already underway into turmoil. And what they hinted at there was that they will be swift to appeal this decision. Now, the three-judge panel that we just spoke about gave the General Assembly, and these two are leading the effort in terms of maps being drawn, to redraw the maps. They gave them 2 weeks to do so. It's not clear yet, we're 3 days into that 14-day window, if they're going to redraw these maps or if they will just appeal to the Supreme Court and ask for a stay in this case.
If they did redraw, is it clear what would happen? Would it have to go back to that panel for a review? Would it go anywhere else for review? Or are they just able to, you know, change a few houses in that district and say, okay, we've done it, we're done, let's move on? Do we know?
Short answer is it isn't clear. The 12th congressional district borders six others. All six of those are held by Republicans. So if they were to redraw the map, that could affect either, you know, on a small level or significantly other congressional districts where, in this case, only Republicans are running as incumbents for re-election. In the first district, it borders five other congressional districts. Of those five, four are held by Republicans. So if they were to call a special session and if they were to come back and redraw maps, it is unclear whether or not there's any kind of vetting process or someone would have to give thumbs up or thumbs down, or if simply lawmakers do come back, redraw the maps, they could really change them quite very minorly, very just intricately,
right,
and really not, you know, affect the fundamental questions here.
Which might mean they could face another lawsuit, but meanwhile, the elections go on and we're living with the results. So those are the things we're looking at. Well, suppose there's not a stay. Suppose this ruling stands and lawmakers have, in fact, 2 weeks to redraw the lines. What would that mean? The legislature is out of session right now. The governor could call a special session. Lawmakers, what are the options here for how these lines would be redrawn? Would it require a special session? Do you know what would happen legislatively if the order is allowed to stand?
My understanding of it is that if they are going to redraw maps, a special session would have to be called. As you mentioned, that can happen from Governor Pat McCrory, House Speaker Tim Moore, or Senate Pro Tem Phil Berger could also call for the reconvening of a special session, and at that time they could redraw and then vote on maps. Calls to leadership have not yet been answered. My calls to leadership have not yet been answered, and it's unclear if they're going to go down that route.
Can you tell us what the people who brought the suit and critics of the original districts have said about this decision?
They say that this decision is a small victory, if not the beginning of a path toward, you know, righting the wrongs or redrawing boundaries that they say are unfair. When you draw congressional boundaries, you can take into account ethnicity and race, but you cannot discriminate. You cannot draw boundaries solely based on those factors. The 12th Congressional District, after it was reintroduced in North Carolina in 1991, came about, and then a group of white voters sued, saying that their equal protections were violated. That case went all the way to the Supreme Court. We're going back more than two decades now. And ultimately what the Supreme Court decided of the United States was that you can't draw a boundary and say, all right, this is going to represent a black community, or we're gearing toward an Asian representative or a Latino representative, but you can draw those boundaries based on party affiliation.
Talking to Jeff Tiberi today on The State of Things. Talking about that suit in which a three-judge panel declared the state's 1st and 12th congressional districts unconstitutional, said they were gerrymandered. We talked about the option, if the order stands, for possibly the legislature to come back and redraw the lines. But there's another option, I suppose. One of the questions that you raised initially was, look, there's a primary in March, and if you start redrawing the districts, of course, everybody's district that borders those two are affected. This could wreak havoc on a primary race already underway. I suppose, can the legislature change the primary date?
Yes, they could. That, at least at this point in the conversation, would strike me, several of the people I've spoken to, as surprising. But as far as I understand, that is a possibility. Lawmakers wanted to make the primary earlier, the presidential primary earlier. So they did that, right? In moving the primary up from, I believe it was the first Tuesday in May, to March 15th. They wanted North Carolina to be more of the national conversation. Let's take a look at Virginia, where the presidential primary is March 1st, but the congressional primaries are in June. So it is conceivable as well that they could maintain a presidential primary 5 weeks from tomorrow, Tuesday, and push back some or all of the other primaries, as I understand it.
Gerrymandering is an age-old process in American politics. The courts have been pretty lenient about it when it comes to strictly political parties trying to favor one side or the other. Racial gerrymandering is another thing, and that's what was at issue in this case and what the judges found why those two districts were unconstitutional. I wonder if this creates any more momentum behind what had been a bipartisan effort to come up with a different way of finding congressional districts, a nonpartisan way of creating congressional districts in North Carolina. Do you have any sense of that, Jeff?
I don't, to be perfectly honest. I think it's a little bit too early. But we heard from leading Republicans when Republicans in the General Assembly were in the minority about independent redistricting. We still heard from some of them in the last couple of years about moving toward that framework and having an outside body do the districts. It'll be interesting to see if that's something that comes up again in the short session, which convenes in April. At this point, I think it's a little too early to tell.
What about some absentee ballots that have already been sent and I guess have somehow already been received? What would happen to them? Do you know?
Absentee ballots went out, I believe, January 25th, January 26th, end of January. One of the leaders of the State Board of Elections has encouraged people who have received those ballots to do is to vote in full. And it remains to be seen if those will be counted or valid or invalid. But at this point, those folks who have received absentee ballots have been told to go ahead and vote in full. One other thing I did want to just mention is that in Virginia, a similar challenge has taken place over the last 12 months. There is a congressional district that stretches from Richmond down to Hampton Roads, and a similar three-judge panel ruled that the district was invalid. That was last year. So the legislature in Virginia reconvened in August. It could not meet a September 1st deadline, so that three-judge panel appointed a special master to draft maps. That was done late last year in 2015 in December. So in now there is a continued appeal in that case. So if we're looking at a relatively similar case, it's taken many months to play forward. So to think that there's going to be a clear resolution in the North Carolina case in a little more than a month is certainly possible, but it makes you wonder how.
All right, Jeff, always a pleasure. Thank you for talking with us.
Thanks, Frank.
Jeff Tiberi is WUNC's Capitol Bureau Chief. Just ahead, we meet pianist and composer Stefan Litvin on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.